Howdy. Hope you guys have had a wonderful week. Christmas is coming.
It's coming.
I invite you to stand as we sing a hymn called Joy to the World. This next song is called Angels We Have Heard on High, which is also another hymn. It's a little different, yeah. But it has all the same words in, so.
A little different.
Yeah.
You'll catch on.
Yeah. It's the millennial version.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
Good morning. Welcome to worship. Please have a seat. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Lord, all glory and honor is yours. And Lord, we pray that you would be honored by everything that is said and sung today. Lord, we just pray that that your spirit would, well, we already know your spirit is here, where two or more are gathered in your name. But Lord, just help our hearts to be open to hearing what you have to say to us today. And thank you that you have something to say. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. As folks are coming in and finding a seat, my name is Andrew. It's just a thrill to be with all of you here today. Thanks for making time out of your week to worship. It is a really, 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 really good thing. Well, it has been quite a week for us here at the church. First, one person that you've been praying for, we've been praying for together. Our church chair, Brant Capel, got a new heart. And so we heard an update even this morning. Everything went great. He is ahead of schedule. They're getting ready to take him off a breathing machine later today. That is good news. Things went really, really, really well. So please keep praying. That is good news. That is good news. And it's also a week of some hard news as well. Don Miller passed away this past Monday. So he was one of the founding members here at Columbia Grove, a dear, dear friend of so many, dear friend to me. He passed peacefully. He passed surrounded by loved ones. So kind of the way that when it's our time, any one of us would want to go. There's a memorial service that's being planned. We don't have a date set for that just yet, but it will likely be sometime early in the new year. Family is it's fairly scattered, so they're trying to find a time that everybody, all immediate family, are able to be there at the same time, and taking, you know, kind of seasonal travel issues into account. But we will let you know just as soon as we can, because it's going to be a good memorial service. And any of you who have known Don know that his whatever a heavenly homecoming looks like, it was a good one. So we come into Advent, in the season of Advent, where there's some elements of just celebration and joy, like we've just sung about, and some parts that are hard. Advent is a season kind of in between, where we are celebrating the birth of Christ and we're longing for his return, and it feels a little bit like unfinished business. And so one of the things we've been doing each week with Advent is we've been lighting an Advent candle. And today I wanted to do something that's a little bit different. One of the things that has been kind of a change for us as a congregation in this pandemic is that we've done a lot with technology. We had to at first. And so, you know, in the earliest days of the pandemic, we had, I mean, nobody in the building, and or other than sometimes a small media team and the entire congregation online. But one of the blessings that came out of that is through technology, we've been able to reach all over the place. And so I wanted you to meet somebody that probably those of you that are here in person have never actually met in person. Her name is Alice, and she lives in Florida. Her daughter, Tiffany, has been a part of the congregation for quite a long time. But Alice has been a frequent, and I know she's online right now, so Alice, thank you, been part of our congregation. And so if you're one of our online pastors, you probably know her pretty well because she is fully, well, at least from a worship service perspective, is fully connected. And so I wanted to invite her from Florida to light the Advent candle for us. So thank you, Alice, for joining us.
Hello, my name is Alice Seamuth, and I'm coming to you from our home in Niceville, Florida. Our Christmas tradition is to get up and wait for our children that are all out of state to video us and for us to watch our grandchildren and great-grandchildren open their presents. And then my husband and I, we go and we make a nice traditional Christmas dinner and watch football for the rest of the day. I am reading Isaiah 35, 1 through 6. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. We light this candle to remind us that our joy is in God and in his son, Jesus Christ. Joy is a gift from God. It overtakes us and fills us when we remember what God has done and what he has promised to do. Lord, fill us with your joy as we remember you. Merry Christmas.
Isn't that neat? So, thank you, Alice. Thank you for joining us. So this might be a good reason to jump onto your Facebook page at some point and go, hey, thanks, Alice. So I hope that you might be able to do that. So now we want to pray for our kids as they get ready to head off to Children's Church. We've got probably one of our most enthusiastic Children's Church teaching teams today. So they are going to have a good day. So if you're sitting next to somebody who's about to head off to Children's Church, maybe put a hand on their shoulder and let's pray for them. God, or if you want them to go off to Children's Church. I know, I see that. That's nice. That's good. You're smart, Alec. All right, here we go. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for our kids, and we thank you for the joy that they are and the joy that they get to experience with Christmas. And God, we just pray that you would fill them with your joy as they learn more about you and what it means to follow you and the good news that has come to earth through Jesus Christ. So Lord, may they hear it, may they grow in it, may they revel in it, may they enjoy it. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So while our kids are getting settled in Children's Church, take a moment, greet a few people around you. We're going to put up a few social media greetings on the screen as folks join us online from, well, all around the country and in some cases all around the world. So So take a few moments, give somebody a fist bump, wave a hand, whatever you need to do, and we're going to jump back into singing and, well, soon. A few seconds.
You guys make it way back to your seats. We're going to sing another hymn. It's called The First Noel.
A seat as we move into a time of congregational prayer, and we invite Brett Floyd to come and join us or to lead us in that. Thank you, Brett.
Okay, good morning. Please join me in prayer. Dear God, thank you for Jesus being our Emmanuel, God with us, and for the hope of his return. We pray for our government and its local, state, and national leaders, for peace, wisdom, and fair decisions made in the best interest of all. Please care for those on the margins of society, the refugee, the immigrant, poor, persecuted, defenseless, the unborn, and the elderly. We ask for an end of COVID and its effects, for our loved ones sick with it now and those that are hospitalized. Also, we pray for the weary medical workers on the front lines of care. We pray for our nation's youth, young adults, and working families. Please help us find a healthy balance of faith, family, work, and fun in a world of distractions, temptations, and frustrations. Please be with those affected by the tornadoes in Kentucky as they seek to cope with this terrible loss. We pray for the mission of the church around the world. Please be with our missionaries and church leaders. We especially ask for the return of the kidnapped missionaries in Haiti. Thank you that several of them have been returned. May they all come home safely. Within our church, we pray for those who are hurting, lonely, sick, struggling in their marriages, battling addiction, looking for work, and are asking for your direction. For our children's ministry, we ask you, Lord, to please provide the leader it needs and for our children to thrive in the program. We also ask for nursery volunteers so that we may reopen our nursery soon. We pray specifically for Brant Capel, who is now recovering from a heart transplant. Thank you, God. May his body quickly adapt to and accept his new heart. We ask you to be with the family of Don Miller as they mourn his passing. Please be with Bev Seals and her family as they care for Bob in hospice. Lord, please provide peace and comfort for Laura Winchester and her family as they grieve the passing of Wayne, and be with Joy Schroeder as she grieves the passing of Dick. We now lift up our own prayers to you, God, whether silently or aloud. Lord, we now ask that you open our hearts to your word as it's preached by Pastor Andrew. Please give him your guidance and direction as he teaches us. In your name we pray, amen.
Thanks, Brett. Brett is a remarkable young man. He's a great dad. And it's been fun watching him grow up in the church and to see the person that he has become. So proud of you. So proud of you. Oh, is he? Okay. That's good. That's good to know, Angie. That's good to know. Yeah. So how are you doing? How are you doing today? Good? Good.
Liar.
That's nice. Okay. At least I have found, and tell me if this is true for you. Most of the time when I've had a conversation with someone, I mean, we give this the typical greeting, how are you? And I go, I'm fine. But if it's somebody you really know, you'll say, no, really, how are you? And usually, this is the response I probably hear the most. I'm okay. I'm okay. Or in some cases, that's also the opportunity to say, I'm not okay right now. So how are you?
Good.
Some of you are doing good. Good. So I want to sit next to you. That's good. So if you are doing good, that is fantastic. But if you are just feeling like you're doing okay, well, I can relate. I can relate. You know, this is a, you know, it's a season where, well, it's been a long season, hasn't it? You know, last couple years especially, where it's not that it's joyless, it's just less joy. We're here, right? And there are plenty of moments of good and plenty of things to celebrate, and it has been hard. There have been some hard losses, and there are still plenty of things that are just feel kind of up in the air. It's harder to make plans, isn't it? You know, anybody planning a trip? Somewhere? Anywhere? Ah, yes. Good luck with that. Yeah. But isn't that so weird? I mean, we want things to come back to normal, and we're not there yet. We're not there yet, and it is hard. It is hard. We see people in all over the map in terms of how we're responding to that, and that is hard. We see loved ones at times with very differing opinions on how to respond to things, and that is hard. And so for many of us, and if you're doing better than this, that is fantastic. Please just thank God for how well things are going. But for many people, how are you doing? Well, I'm okay. I hope you really are okay today. Because as we're in this season of Advent, we're looking at some of these really core themes to the heart. First, we talked about hope. Last week, we looked at peace. And today, our big theme is joy. What does it mean to receive joy? And what does it mean to give joy? So, if joy has felt a little bit elusive today, or maybe this season, or this past year, or this past year and a half, or maybe the past 10 years for you, my hope is that we would be able to, well, understand joy a little bit better, but then also I want to take some time today to kind of stir your joy. Help us to remember where true joy, deeper joy, comes from. Because there is the joy that overtakes us, like the stomach flu. You're like, yes, you know, it just comes up out of nowhere. But there's also a deeper, sorry, that's a bad analogy, isn't it? you're like, this is, I don't want to feel that kind of joy at all. But there is also a deeper joy. And it's that deeper joy that God invites us into in this Advent season. So we're going to go back into the passage, actually read the rest of the passage that Alice read for us a little earlier today. It's in Isaiah chapter 35. If you have your Bibles, paper Bibles, or your glow-in-the-dark, phone-based Bibles, we're going to be on Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 10, and I want you to lock in on every time the word joy comes up. So when you hear the word joy, say it with me, okay? Because joy is our word of the day. Wow, that is cool. How did we do that? Wow, we're about to have a seizures and that's something like that. So if you are susceptible to blinking lights, one, I don't know how to fix it. Don't tell me. And two, I am so sorry. Okay, we'll take down the social media. That's nice. All right, let's see what happens there. Wow. Hi, everybody. Okay. Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 10, the desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. So strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your Lord will come. He will come with vengeance and divine retribution. He will come to save you. And then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer and the mute tongue will shout for joy. Yes. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool. The thirsty ground, bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on them. It'll be easier to drive on them at that point, isn't it? Okay, wait, sir. The wicked fools will not be there. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. That's a good prophecy, isn't it? That's what we look forward to in the new heaven and the new earth when Christ returns. All things will thrive. True shalom, true peace will mark the earth. And there will be much joy. So today I want to talk about three sources of joy. Now, one of them you're already familiar with. Actually, you're probably familiar with all of them. It's good to have some reminders, though. But one of them you don't even need to really learn. It just sort of happens. Because the first source of joy that happens, this is the source that you just that just kind of overtakes us. And that's the joy that comes from relief from suffering. Relief from suffering. So, for example, in the Bible, we see that in when the time when the Israelites are brought out of Egypt. So, for example, Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. This is just after they've come through the Red Sea. They're on the other side. The Egyptian army has been annihilated behind them. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, both horse and driver. He has hurled into the sea. So there's times we are filled with joy because God has taken care of the problem that plagues us. It's relief from suffering. This is not the same level of suffering as the Red Sea, but something that comes to mind. So many of you know I spent much of September in Alaska and much longer in Alaska than I planned to be. Our team contracted COVID while we were in the remote village of Koyuk. And I hope many of you have a chance to go to Native Alaska. It is beautiful. Beautiful place. Absolutely marvelous people. And we experienced some tremendous hospitality there. And the quarantine location where we were, which was the very honest best they could do, did lack a few certain amenities. Like a working toilet. So, while the rest of the trip we experienced really remarkable levels of hospitality from these incredible families, but when we were quarantined, our food sources now were kind of dried food or canned food that we could order from the general store and have arrive on the doorstep of the house. And so as we finally, everybody made it through quarantine, and we were cleared to travel again, and we traveled, get on an airplane, and then land in the city of Unalakleet. So it's the larger of the villages up in the Norton Sound area, and get to walk around the village for the first time. And in the airport, there was a bathroom. And it was glorious. And so I experienced the glorious bathroom. And then I walked downtown, and there was a general store, and I went into the general store. And now, those of you that know me well know that my absolute favorite food in the world is apples. I live in the right place. This is one of a thousand things I love about Wenatchee. And so we walked down the aisle of the Unalakleet General Store, and there were fresh apples. They were Stamilt apples, by the way. They were labeled Cosmic Crisp. They were not. But paid way more for that apple than I would normally pay, and I was glad to pay for an apple. So I got an apple and a slice of pizza. Hot pizza, and there within eyesight was a working bathroom, and I was filled with joy. And I told myself, I will never take a working bathroom for granted again. I will never take access to fresh fruit for granted ever again. And then I got on an airplane, and by midnight that night, I was back home in Wenatchee and was able to sleep in my own bed, in my own house, a house that has not one, but two working toilets, two of them. It is fantastic. And I told myself I would never take it for granted again. And by 3 days later, I had totally taken it for granted. I got used to the luxuries that I'd been accustomed to my whole life, right? See, that's the problem. That's the one problem with the joy that is a response to suffering, is it tends to be fairly short-lived. It tends to be fairly fleeting, which is why we need to also tap into some of the deeper sources of joy. Now, I hope you have much joy because of a blessing, something that gets returned to you, that medical test that turns back, you know, comes back better than expected, that, you know, the windfall of money that shows up at just the right time, the indoor plumbing that you will know, you will tell yourself you will never take it for granted again. I hope you have many such joyful moments. But for deeper forms of joy, we need to go deeper. So we need to look at the second source of joy, and that is gratitude. That's gratitude. So in Colossians 3:16, the Apostle Paul puts it like this. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. It's interesting how gratitude ends up getting linked to wisdom. It gets linked to what it means to be teaching one another, to be sharing the message of Christ. Gratitude is absolutely key. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this point number two, because we've just made it through Thanksgiving. We talked about gratitude, though I would, again, just encourage you, find a way to build gratitude into your life. So if you're growing in prayer, and you've got some sort of a prayer journal, I've already told, I've mentioned this in other points. One of the ways where I'm growing in my prayer life is just the discipline each day of trying to write down somewhere as I'm praying for different people and different things and talking to God about what I'm feeling, which is super important as well, just to learn ways to be actually honest with your Heavenly Father, but is to just start listing things that you are grateful for. So that can be the big things, like, you know, I'm grateful for Jesus. I'm grateful for the cross. It is also appropriate to be grateful for small things, like indoor plumbing. It's fine. In fact, sometimes it's really good because we forget how good we actually have it. As we practice gratitude, even in the small things, maybe even especially in the small things, some of our joy comes back. If you have a car, if it runs, maybe even if it doesn't, thank you, God. If you had breakfast this morning, Lord, thank you. If you've experienced running water recently, Lord, thank you. So it's okay. It's okay to thank God for the little things. Practice gratitude. Gratitude leads us to joy. The third area, third source of joy, is the anticipation of good things. When we're looking forward to something really good happening. Now, to illustrate this, we're in just a second. We're not going to put it up just yet, but we're going to put up a clip. This is probably one of the most famous moments in daytime television. And you might even know what this is already. But on September 13th of 2004, there was, in the afternoons, there was a talk show called Oprah. Okay, some of you might even remember what was going on here. But so this was a pretty dramatic moment. So I want to show a clip of that moment. It's just really short, but then I want to talk about some things that we see in this clip that actually teaches us quite a bit about joy. So let's run that clip.
Everybody in the audience, now listen to me carefully. is being given a special package, and I don't want you to open it. Do not open it. Cameras are on you, so do not open until I tell you. All right, open your boxes. Open your boxes. 1, 2, 3.
So on that day,
everybody in the audience, now listen to me, Kim.
There we go. Is Oprah Winfrey gave away 276 Pontiac GT sedans. Now, as it turns out, of course, Pontiac actually had donated the sedans to give away. Though in Oprah's defense, you know, she paid the sales tax on it, and on each of the cars, and also was willing to pay some of the additional income tax that. If a family couldn't afford the about $6,000 that Uncle Sam would get from them receiving that gift. So it was honestly, at least, it was a publicity stunt, but at least honestly generous. But there's something, so in that moment, you know, you get a car. Like the audience just erupted with joy, right? Would you? Yeah, exactly. That's pretty cool. But here's something I want you to notice. In this clip where they're erupting with joy, you get a car. Had any one of them received a car yet? No. Why were they going bonkers? Because Oprah told them they were getting a car. And I want to move slowly on this point because this ends up being really key. Okay? Now, Oprah Winfrey at the time, and still, is one of the richest people in entertainment. So Oprah Winfrey had the capacity to give them a car, right? And Oprah Winfrey had a history of giving away cool stuff on her show. So every audience member was aware that Oprah was capable of giving a car. And Oprah had a history of giving things away. That's why, as Oprah's, you know, as these boxes are being distributed and as, you know, car keys are being pulled out of these boxes, every audience member, all 276 audience members, believed they were receiving a car. And they did. And yet none of them, in that moment, had yet received the car. Imagine if you were walking in downtown Wenatchee, let's say outside the Empire, and a guy, middle of the day, comes stumbling out, and he says, You get a car! Can you help me find my car? You probably would not erupt with enthusiasm. Why? Because he probably doesn't have the money. He's probably not capable of giving you a car. So you might say, can I call you a cab? You might try to help this person out. I hope you would. But you wouldn't erupt with joy because they probably have no capacity to give you a car. And you have never seen them give anybody anything at this point. Joy is found in the anticipation of good things. When we hear words of promise from somebody that we know has the capacity to deliver on that promise, and has a history of faithfulness to that promise, then joy rises up in us. I'm walking us slowly through this point, but this is so vitally important, okay? As we hear these promises of Scripture, we're hearing them from God through His Word. And we're hearing them, especially the ones that we're about to take a look at, we're hearing them from Jesus. Now, did you know that Jesus foretold his death and resurrection? So we see it in in Matthew 16, in Mark 8, in Luke 9. But I'm just going to read Matthew 16 for us. Okay? Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and must suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And that he, as he puts it, and I, must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Jesus foretold his death, and Jesus foretold his resurrection. Hundreds of prophecies from the Old Testament foretold his death, and a few foretold his resurrection. And it happened exactly like Jesus said. Let me see your eyes. It happened exactly like Jesus said. And this same Jesus that foretold his death and foretold his resurrection, no matter how outlandish it might even seem for him to be resurrected, and yet in his resurrection, up to 500 people at once saw it, and they were so profoundly changed by what they saw that those men and women would change the world. Every single one of them would either die or risk their own death rather than deny what they saw in the resurrection. Jesus foretold his death. Jesus foretold his resurrection. And then he fulfilled his promise just like he said. He had the capacity. He has the capacity. And Jesus has the history of faithfulness in keeping his promises. Do you hear me, church? This same Jesus that foretold his death and foretold his resurrection, and it was abundant evidence of his death, abundant evidence of his resurrection. Both are historical facts that you can look into as deeply as you need to look. These things happened, and they happened just like Jesus said. Are you with me? Because here's where we're going. The same Jesus that foretold his death and foretold his resurrection made some promises to you. And I want to stir your joy this morning. I want to stir your joy by hearing some of those promises. Now, if you want, I also printed off some little sheets of this. And you'll see them. You'll see them in the back of the room. You can pick them up later. I'm just going to put some stuff up on the screen here. But and if you're joining us online, if you go to columbiagrove.org, message notes, you'll see all of these same promises. So you can stir your joy a little bit later if you need a refill, because you probably will, because your in-laws are coming. Stir your joy. The same Jesus that foretold his death and his resurrection says this to you. Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. You get a room. You get a room. You get a room. And if that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? You get a place. You get a place. You get a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You get to be with me. You get to be with me. You get to be with me. And then later on, through the Apostle Paul, this promise is delivered. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You, through Christ, receive eternal glory. And some of you are real quiet about it. Actually, I'm not looking to necessarily just pump the room and get us jumping up and down. But what I do hope is as we hear these promises of Jesus, it will stir deep, deep joy. Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings, are you suffering? You probably are. And our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And then Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, He, God, will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. You get a new resurrected body. You have the privilege of living in a new heaven and a new earth where everything has been made new. It has been redeemed, where sin is eradicated and everything finally, finally, finally works properly. Stir your joy. These are promises from the very same Jesus. And Jesus keeps his promises. Yes. So what are you looking forward to? Now, I do hope you're looking forward to Christmas. I do hope you have trips in the future that you look forward to. We have a high school graduation coming up in our family. I'm looking forward to that. I hope you have things that you are looking forward to. But in those moments where it is harder to look forward to something, maybe you need to look a little further forward. You have a place. You will receive a resurrected body one day through Jesus Christ. You and I and we, as we place our trust and hope in Him, you and I and we will inherit a new heaven, a new earth, where all things are finally set right. Where the burning sand will become a pool and the thirsty ground bubbling springs. Where the eyes of the blind will be opened. Where the deaf, ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Where the lame will leap like a deer and the mute tongue will shout for joy. What are you looking forward to? Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you. Thank you that you keep your promises. And so, Lord, we trust you. And in those parts of our life where we have a hard time trusting you, Lord, we want to trust you. Increase our faith. Increase our joy. Thank you that you are the ultimate giver of joy, because you are the ultimate redeemer of this world and you're the ultimate redeemer of our lives. Thank you, God, that you have not given up on us yet. Thank you, God, you haven't given up on me yet. Thank you, God, that you are good. Lord, may you get all the glory, all the honor. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Invite us to stand. We're going to respond in song so we remember the goodness of our God.
Just like to let you guys know, I'm grateful to play for you. That's what I'm grateful for.
Unexpected, would you believe? After all we've rejected. child in a manger, lonely and small, the weakest of all, a likeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. This who we've waited for. How many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats become the least for me?
How many gods have poured out their hearts to augment a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up the sons for me? For the newborn Savior, all that we have went costly on me, because we believe. Oh, for his honor, frankincense, for his treasure and blood, for the spots he would suffer, do you believe? Is this who we've waited for?
Please have a seat, and invite you to take out your communion packets. And if you're joining us from home and or wherever you happen to be, invite you to take out some bread, take out some juice. How many kings would step down from their thrones? How many lords would abandon their home? How many greats would become the least for me? Only one. So the God of the universe stepped into human history in the person of Jesus Christ, born as a baby in a manger. God with us. And the same God with us would lay down his life. And on the final meal that he would have with his disciples before his crucifixion, he would take bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples to eat, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, and it is given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." And so as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. This is what the love of God looks like. A God who would humble himself even unto death on the cross. A God who would himself pay the price so that you and he could be reunited. So in these simple elements, in the bread and in the cup, we're reminded of that. And in these next moments, I invite us to serve one another as we partake. And so I'm going to lead us in a short prayer. And then what I invite you to do is to say to somebody close by, maybe it's the person next to you, maybe it's the person in the row in front of you. Maybe you just mouth it to someone across the room. But you would remind one another that this is Christ's body, it's given for you. And this is Christ's blood, and it is shed for you. Lord Jesus, thank you that you gave your body and you shed your blood out of love for us. Help us to not take that for granted. Thank you that this was the ultimate display of love and the ultimate price that was paid for our freedom, for our forgiveness, for our redemption, that we might receive and inherit the promises that you have for us. May this simple bread, may this simple, simple juice be an appetizer of the kingdom of God when it comes in fullness, when you return. Thank you for this gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Please serve one another. Please serve one another. As we close, I invite us to stand and to say the words of the Lord's Prayer out loud together as a church family. And again, for joining us, like Alice, you can say this out loud with us in Florida. Say it nice and loud so we can hear you up here in Washington. And we'll do our best to say it nice and loud so maybe you can hear it in Florida because we're in this together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Please have a seat just for a moment, Pastor Paul.
Thank you, Andrew. Just a couple quick announcements. A week from Thursday, can you believe that? It's already Christmas Eve Eve. We will have a worship service right here at 6:30 on December 23rd. Hope to see you here on the 23rd, and we will have candle lighting during that service. The leadership team has let us now open up our nursery. Yay! We want and we need 5 more volunteers to open it up so nobody gets burned out. So it's about an every 6 or 7 week rotation. So if you'd like to work and help love kids, children's church, or you're in the nursery, those connection cards you have in front of you, put a name. You'd love to help out, send me an email, talk to me. We'd love to get nursery going again. Our Christmas offering, special offering we have each year during Christmas. It goes to 3 different places. For every dollar you put in, 1/3 will go to Global, to Covenant Kids Congo, helping kids around the world. The next place is in our local benevolence, where we help people. Maybe they are behind on their utility. Maybe they need help with a rental deposit. Maybe help with some counseling at a professional counselor. That's where that local benevolence goes. And then we also have into our missions fund, money goes in to help with our internship program here at the church so we can have interns like Ian and interns in the future So that's where the three different locations for the money goes. Thank you cards are in the back of the foyer for the ICU. Feel free to fill them out. If you want to go to the ICU, just put ICU. If you want it to go to the staff, the other people in the hospital complex, just put thank you on the outside of the card. We'll make sure they get to the right place. Please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray our hearts are towards you during this Advent season as your birth approaches. May we each slow down and not get caught up in the hustle and the bustle of the season. Lord Jesus, bless each of our week ahead. May we each love like Jesus and depart in peace. Amen.